It's time to step inside the Iketagon with your host, Ike Feldman.
What's up, everybody, is what everybody tends to say, whether it's Chris DeStefano, Daniel Cormier. Everybody says, what's up, everybody? Now, even Ara Hawani saying, I got to come up with a new intro line, but it is your boy, as always, Ike Feldman on the Iketagon.
You're stepping inside the Iketagon.
We're doing a big fight pay-per-view week podcast. I'm being joined by none other than Jason Burgos, editor contributor for Sportsnut and the Slap Fight Championship. This guy is talented. He's one of the smoothest wordsmith that I've been associated with. I've had the privilege and the pleasure of talking to many people, dipping and diving and ducking and wrench throwing, like with many broadcasters. Jason is talented and he speaks my language. Combat sports, mixed martial arts. Mr. Jason Burgos at Jason Burgos MMA on Twitter. What's up, brother? Thank you for joining me late on a Friday night.
I mean, I'm happy to be here. I mean, two things. One, Ara Hawani having critiques for anybody. I mean, what does he know? I mean, big deal, big whoop. And then me, I'm a little worried. If I'm the best wordsmith you've had on these shows, I'm a little worried that the standard was low and I would just hurdle the weak standard, but I'll take it. I'm always up for compliments.
I feel like your ass isn't like screwed tight. I feel like you're a loose guy. I feel like
It's loose back there. It's
you're not sitting on like two kids. You're 40 years old in a studio apartment. You're trying to get out of it. You want to prove to your parents. Like, that's what I feel where most of the MMA media was pre Conor McGregor, like starving for like chicken. How the hell are they going to put food on? I feel like Conor McGregor is kind of raised all the time for all the ships. And now look at Luke Thomas on CBS. Ara Hawani had his run on ESPN. The sport is rising. And with that, I get to meet and mingle with people like Jason Burgos. Man, yeah, you are talented. You are a smooth guy. You're, of course, a New York guy. And you, I don't know, I feel like you represent the community that is the mixed martial arts community, that just the fan in you, on top of being an excellent broadcaster.
And I think you nailed it. The New York thing. There's just not enough of us. We need to stick together.
We're not from Canada. We're not from Washington.
No.
What is this?
And then also, you know, you are a WFN guy. I grew up on WFN. There's a standard. We know the standard. This is the media capital, people. We know the standard. We bring the A game. It's as simple as that. That's why it's so good.
And to pat myself on the back, I'm a chemistry nerd. Like when it comes to co-host, like you see Mike and the Mad Dog, they are the Mount Rushmore of co-hosting, because there was friction, but they made so much money. They made the ratings huge. If you listen on the early days of Michael Kay, Don LaGreca, Peter Rosenberg, the Rosenberg thing was just, it grinded their gears. Eventually he beat them down. Probably with the canes that Don walks into the studio with, and he won them over because he was literally this hot 97 kid. He's got the beautiful wife, the SNY girl, and then he won them over. They're cooler. They're hipper now. Like hearing Craig Carton, Evan Roberts, could kind of, it's like big brother, little brother. Yep. Boomer and Carton was amazing. Boomer and Gio is excellent, but Mike and the Mad Dog, Stephen A. Smith and Max Kellerman, oh my goodness, awful. Awful. Where's Skip Bayless? I don't know if you've heard Chris Russo jumping on with Stephen A. Smith on First Take.
I liked it. He gave him some clashes. It was good.
And there's
Stephen
respect.
A. looked a little worried for once.
Great. Exactly. He looked a little worried because Matt
Dog was talking back.
Encyclopedia.
Yeah. Yep. And he was just because so many people go in there, like legitimate players who have played at the highest level still kowtow to this guy. They're scared to get loud with him. This guy Russo was like, I'm a guest here. I don't care if they let me go. I don't care. I'm still going to be loud. And it was fantastic. Stephen A. didn't know what to do with himself.
Mad Dog Russo. Yeah. And he's like, Stephen A. doing all his idiosyncrasies. Oh my gosh. It was fantastic. So I'm all about that pairing, man. And what I'm really trying to say is I think we have a great chemistry and I really appreciate your time.
I agree, bro. I appreciate you having me. I enjoyed the hell out of it the last time. Stall game is pound for pound. And from then on, I have nothing but appreciation and respect for you.
All right. We'll talk to you next week. Again, folks, at Jason Burgos MMA. Thank you, Jason.
All right.
I'm just kidding.
Oh, I was like, wow, this is short, but you know, nothing wrong with that.
I talk 80% of the time. So what's going on, man? UFC 272, the first non-title main event. Did Poirier McGregor? Yeah, I guess that would 264. I think it's all McGregor fights. 257, 246 against Cowboy. The Diaz rivalry. I think it's just a McGregor thing. This breaks the tie that it's somebody else. And Masvidal equals box office, to quote Stephen A.
Well, Smith. This is his second one. He did it. I was there. Him and Nate Diaz at the Garden. I was lucky enough to actually be there. That's another one.
I didn't gloss over that mistakenly.
Oh, okay.
The BMF title.
Yes, there you go.
Come on, they created one. I mean, for this one, what would they be? Like Trump's favorite fighter title? What would it be? TFT, Trump's?
Or the huge TFT. Title. The huge. That would be good. Just a big Y on it that doesn't make any sense.
My gosh. Amazing, amazing. Alt-right. No, we're not getting there. We're not getting there. But yeah, man. Non-title fight, five round. People are, what's your takeaway? I feel like people aren't understanding going into this type of fight week, this type of fight, like what to expect. What's your biggest takeaway, your preview? We'll get into the nitty gritty, but the fight has happened. We're here. What's going on?
I think I'll give Masvidal credit in that he's made this fight seem like it's a competitive fight. And I'm not saying that like Colby's going to just dominate him, but there's a reason. Colby's a minus 320 favorite. That's a effing big favorite. I mean, you could be like a 160 favorite, and that's a decent number. That's saying, that's like Vegas saying like they expect him to win and easily. So, but with Masvidal's kind of like confidence and hype and everything he's saying, he got a big fat new contract. He just seems like the superstar. So I think it's put an air on this. This is going to be a fun competitive fight. And I hope it is. I'm hoping it's just not sort of like the first Usman fight with Masvidal. He's just taken down. He's just wrestled to death and that people are going to be disappointed. I hope it's all out war. It would be disappointing if friends turned enemies are not all out war. And I think they've done a good job of building it to make you feel it should be a battle.
It reminds me, it feels like modern day Chuck versus Tito, former teammates.
Yeah.
And then essentially you got the wrestler versus the striker. If you remember, Tito Ortiz wore the Dana is my bitch shirt on the weigh-in day. Dana White loved Chuck. He was promoting Chuck and funding Chuck prior to joining the UFC. Man, it feels the same, but this is bad freaking blood. It got dark. It got ugly. The press conference. A lot of people were like, I don't know, disturbed by it or it seemed cringy. I go, what did you expect? Did you expect for them to juggle and like balloons to come out? Like, this is real hate. Like, they're allowed to hate each other. I do not think there will be a hug at the end of this fight.
Yeah, I agree. And like you nailed it with the press. I mean, honestly, I don't even watch the presses anymore. I stopped watching them before they got real crazy like they are now, because there's nothing that really newsworthy that comes out. It's just insanity. It's just nonsense. And like I was lucky to be at the Colby Usman rematch at the Garden, and I went to the presser and I recorded. I did it for Mixed Martial Arts. Oops, sorry. And then, like, you know, it was just nonsense. It was just people yelling, people talking over each other, the crowd yelling, the crowd just being crazy. And now you have these weird personalities like Pepto Bismol suit guy and asking weird questions and all kinds of nonsense. Like
Jason Cohen.
So he has a name. Okay.
Good radio thing. Guy. These radio guys.
Really? Oh, my God. Yeah, but things that it gets worse, like Chael opened the door for like Connor and Connor's opened the door for the trash talk of Colby. It's like the Schmo opened the door for characters and now you get all kinds of characters that are coming in. He's actually talented. They're not. We're seeing the non-talent do something. It's not good.
The Schmo followed me and unfollowed me. That will be the
really
the story.
Wow.
No. There's a story behind it. Let me see.
Oh.
I will make a note to tell you. Wow, every time we talk, I will leave
divulge.
You with a story in my, I don't know, it could have been, you could say better days or worse days. I don't know, it depends what side you're coming on, but
fair enough.
Did you grow up with a big family?
I had three brothers, including me, two older brothers and my mom. And we didn't have like a, you know, we had relatives, but they were like living on Long Island or they lived in like different states and stuff like that. So it was kind of just mainly our unit.
Three brothers?
Yeah, well, two older brothers, three altogether, right, including me.
So you're the Burgoses of the Joneses of the Bronx, I guess.
Sort of.
The minus other the Burgoses. Super Bowls, steroids.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. I'll take that.
Minus the Super Bowls and all the allegations. Even, Chandler got into, I think he was smoking synthetic. It's like, dude, your brother's probably a better drug dealer than anybody out in Arizona. But my point is, I grew up, I'm one of six.
Wow.
Two brothers, three sisters, the Brady Bunch, if you would. I don't know. I kind of thrive.
I was born in it.
I could thrive in the chaos, man. Like working in a radio station, like it's not for everybody. You got to listen to a host. You have one headphone in. You got to listen to the producer. You got to listen to the caller, line up commercials. You're also listening to a TV feed in the background of Quick Pitch playing overnight 70 times. Shouts to the MLB Network. But my point is, it's like, I do get something out of these chaotic pressers. Like I do like to see if anybody gets under the other person's skin, especially now being a part of the better, the capper side of things. Like you want to see, did anybody give anything away? And I'm going to play the highlight reel for you. Just take a listen now. This is less dark, less disturbing. The UFC has beeped it out. It's about 90 seconds. And feel free to speak over this.
Money. That's only
bro, this is just the Tuesday, Wednesday, me slapping this dude around.
He has to copy me. I can't even make up his own.
It is like children.
Shut up.
Yeah. Bro, I can't up.
Teenagers.
Don't copy me.
I told Dana I'd fight him for free. He's a bum.
Why is there no King of Miami?
I love this media
for
guy.
This particular fight.
That's a Kobe henchman right there. Why would it be?
You want to know why there's no King of Miami belt? Because this trains in Broward County. He lives in Coconut Creek. I train in Hialeah, Florida. I live in Hialeah. I'm in Dade County. I run this city. I'm the King of Miami.
You're talking about his herpes.
He's from Oregon. Can he be the King of Miami? It's weird.
The only fake thing here is you,
his skin
Phony
says
Montana.
We're not the
Phony Montana.
That was a good line. Phony Montana is a good line.
That's good. Yeah, yeah.
Good one, man.
Hey, bro, you go get your jewelry from the middle of the mall.
But you don't get no pay-per-views. You're dumb and ignorant and broke.
Well, if anybody doesn't think that one of these two might do something today, you're out of your.
And during all these, like, up here. These insults and, being thrown back and forth, Dana's like, cha-ching, cha-ching, cha-ching.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yep.
Keep it going, keep it going.
I'm curious on how well it does, because it's not a super stacked card for a pay-per-view.
Oh, that's about it. But, yeah, man, it. Now that I watched it with you again, it was, and especially, I talked about, just recorded yesterday, I said, Colby is living out his teenager dream.
Yeah.
Like he's
got
money. He's on boats.
Yeah.
He's wearing a white suit. He was wearing like a cotton candy suit at 268. He's freaking has porn stars to the left and right of him. Instagram. It's like, man, he really is like a 16-year-old. And I don't know. It pisses me off when Rogan or Shab say, you're like, no, Kobe's a great guy in private. He's not really like this. He's allowed to be both. He's allowed to be a nice guy because he respects you. But it's also, you're not his opponent.
Yeah. I mean, I had the luck when, before I even like, you know, early in my MMA stuff, I did a podcast with the strength coach at American Top Team. So I got to interview Colby like a few fights before the Brazil thing. He was super nice. Like he gave me his number. He was a super nice guy, but he tapped into what would make him money. And
next up now, you won't.
Yeah. So, I mean, like he figured this is what worked for him. This is what's making him money. This is what's making him a lot of money. I mean, in a sport where the boss pretty much tells you, hey, make yourself a star because we're gonna maybe not put that much effort into you. So I mean, it's not in everyone's taste, but you know, he like you said, he can be a nice guy and kind of has to play a character so he can make money. And there's a lot of people out there playing characters that can make a lot of money.
Again, we're being joined by at Jason Burgos MMA. Speaking of the money you mentioned, I haven't even looked at this line because I feel like sometimes it can shift my prediction. You said 325 in favor of Colby.
320 for Colby and Jorge's 250 right now, plus 250.
Oh, man, throw it out of the window. I don't know if people pay attention this much to fight weeks as me. This is the best shape of Jorge Masvidal's career that he's coming in. I know we saw him against Usman 251. He took that on 6 days notice. The rumors that he didn't eat that pizza in Italy. he looked better at UFC 261 in Jacksonville, I believe. But dude, he is shredded. And of course, I know that the mindset and being focused on the night of, you just have to be focused for 30 minutes. It doesn't matter before or the 8 weeks, 12 weeks training camp. Like, you could be out of shape and you screw up. Like, if he missed that knee against Askren, it would have been a long night. Yeah. He looks like he's motivated. Yeah, he's getting paid like a superstar, as you mentioned before. Throw the money line out of the window. This is on tape, man. I promise you, this is going five at least. Colby is not submitting him. Jorge will not let that happen. I said the same thing about the Tyron Woodley thing. If you cannot get up to face Colby Covington, your quote-unquote bitter rival, as they're selling it, then get out of the sport. And he should. Tyron Woodley is on his literally last toe of the sport. The same thing goes with Jorge Masvidal. You got paid. You're the superstar. Cover of video games. King of Coconut Creek, whatever you want to call it. King of Applebee's. If he cannot get up for this fight tomorrow night, get out of the sport.
And it's true. I mean, and knowing him and knowing how long of a journey he took just to get to this point to finally make this money, he's got a ton of pride. And then even before he became a name to people, the people that really watch the sport, this guy was always the hard out for everybody. Like when Gilbert Melendez was like a top lightweight in Strikeforce, this guy had trouble with him when people didn't really realize how good he was. So this fight, like just based on his personality, like I'm sure he is thinking, I could not live with myself if I lost to this dude. He's that kind of person. There's people that'll, they don't want to lose, but they're kind of okay with it because they're okay in life and they're making money and it's not the end of the world. This is a guy that is a very prideful guy, grew up in the streets, was a street fighter. Like he can't live with himself if he loses to him. And that's why he's in phenomenal shape. And that's why I don't think there'll be a lack of him not performing to the level in this fight. I just think it's, if he loses, it's just because it's a matchup that isn't great for him and it's a wrestler. And that's always kind of been one of his issues throughout his career.
This is real.
Does that piss you off that Dana White has to clarify that this is real heat?
It's annoying, but it's their fault because they've, you know, developed a sport where everything is manufactured hate. So it you never really know. And then, I mean, look, shit. Colby and Kamara shook hands after that rematch. And if anybody thought those are
you just
people
said
that
Kamara,
excuse me.
You got CNN in the back, a different tab going on. What the hell's going on, Jason? Oh no.
I'm sorry. Kamara
audience leave.
I know we're gonna fail in Nigeria now. We're done in Nigeria. I'm sorry. We lost the Nigerian market. But you know, those two made up and it seemed like it was fine. So if that was a lot of show, yeah. I'm sure there's some people that they were friends. It's probably they're just trying to get a big payday. So yeah, I mean it's his fault that people
Are you not seeing the tea leaves here, man? He brought up he slept on his couch. They were traveling to Singapore together to do this. He brought up his wife, Marissa. I didn't know his wife's name before the press conference. He's talking that you're a scumbag, a lowlife of a father. You've dipped on them. That sounds pretty, pretty personal. And it's like, yep. Jorge didn't get the switch on, turned on. Then it seems like he already turned it on because again, he's coming in great shape. I think a fire is freaking lit.
Yeah, no, I agree. If he won, even though he's a big underdog, I wouldn't be surprised. Like this is a world class. That's why this is such a good fight, because it's not two guys that have a beef. These are two guys that have a beef that are two of the very best welterweights on the planet and guys that are like pound for pound level of talents. And Jorge Masvidal is very good. Like if he won, I would not be surprised. That's why they were able to put this as a main event non-title with a card that's okay, because that's how good the talent is between those two. And that's how good the story is between those two. It sells a pay-per-view on its own.
Do you want to make a bet? You're hard to win over. You are the Stephen A. Smith of the MMA space without the bells and whistles essentially. But do you think they're going to embrace at the end? Like what's your prediction of the end? Not the result, but what happens at the end? Smoke settles or dust settles. I swear I'm sober.
You know, it's funny because it's always often based off of a personality, because there are some sore losers. Like the Diaz brothers are terrible losers. You know,
Vin McGregor 2, McGregor Diaz 2, UFC 202, a lot of twos. There was still respect and a hug. Yeah. And they did that kind of like,
because Nate thought he won.
Awkward cousin hug. Like he hugged him, but he looked away from him. Like there was that.
Because Nate thought he won. So if he thought he won, he's like, oh, you know, it's all cool.
You think he was big brother in him?
Yeah, he had to, he won. It was a close fight, so he had reason to think he could have won. And you know, he had a decent attitude. But you know, Colby has been cool in losses. I think they're both professionals. They were both friends. I would not be shocked, especially if we went five and they really went after each other. If it's like a quick knockout, yeah, they're gonna. I don't think it's gonna be any love. But if it goes five rounds, like you say, I think they'll be. I think they'll give each other a pound at the end.
If it goes five, and we're 49-46, maybe 48-47, are we doing immediate rematch? Because the division is kind of like, I could see the UFC trying to phone Gilbert Burns in the middle. And literally, the last time we talked, we're talking about Khamzat and Gilbert Burns. I could see the UFC phoning Gilbert Burns at like 2 or 3 in the morning to disrupt his sleep, doing anything they can to get Khamzat to leapfrog him to get him in that title fight, because it seems like that's next. You got the Leon fight that could be 3 months from now. Then you get the Khamzat fight. This seems like there's about a 9 to 12 month window before Jorge or Colby will get back in there, unless there is like a first round finish, which I think there's no shot of. Yeah. Too much emotion means it's going to be tense. It's going to be that Anderson Silva, Vitor Belfort. I think it's UFC 126 where it's just, they're just looking at each other. There's a Big Bang Theory gif where they're wrestling, two wrestling guys, and they, nobody does anything. That's what I think the first round, first 6 minutes until somebody does something. Like Cody TJ. Remember that? How tense it was? And then Cody landed right at the end. UFC 217 right at the end. It was like, he said, fuck it. I heard the clap, the 10-second clap. I'm going to go for it. I feel like it's going to be very tense, very tense. My point is, I think it reaches a decision. I think the division is kind of held up with those fights. Khamzat, man. I think he's going to jump in there.
I think you made a great point about a rematch. The rematch would make sense, especially if the pay-per-view sells a decent amount, because both guys are so far out of a title fight. Like, both of them. How crazy is that? You got a main event of a pay-per-view that are two dudes that lost twice to the champion that have no chance of a title shot in 2022. Like, best case scenario, they win 2-3 times in this year, and then maybe in 2023, which they probably, neither of them are guys who fight 3 times a year. So, I mean, it makes a lot of sense. If this sells pay-per-views, why not? If it's a good fight too, why not just do a rematch? And if, you know, you can just make money off each other while you're not getting title fights. It just makes too much sense for the both of them. That said, because I would agree with you on Khamzat getting pushed to the title fight if this guy, Usman, wasn't like still a ways away, and Leon has already kind of been talked about that it's going to be Leon and stuff like that. And for all that, I still think Khamzat does need to be one more top level kind of guy, and Gilbert's a perfect kind of guy. If he could be him, I think he could deserve the title fight, not even another fight needed.
100%. Is that for the April 9th or the May 7th card?
That's will be 273. So I think that's April 9th.
All right. Have you seen Khamzat training with Darren Till?
Yeah, I like I like those videos, and I did a story about it last week how Darren Till talking about. Yep. But I mean, it's crazy. Did you see the stuff that Darren Till said about him? Like, he straight up was just like, I want to go train with this dude because, like, this guy has an aura. Darren Till, who's fought for a title, main event to several UFC cards, is talking about this kid got an aura. Like, that's crazy for like someone that's established as Darren Till. The stuff I love that a lot of people slept on. That I did a story on too, is like just seeing him grapple with Yaroslav Amosov in the gym in Thailand, the Tiger Muay Thai. Like, that's crazy. Like, this possible future UFC welterweight champion grappling and going at it with the current Bellator welterweight champion. They're both good grapplers. Like, that video to me, is just, as a fan, it's just sick. But yeah, Khamzat's, it's unbelievable. Like, that's, he's a special talent. He's like McGregor without, honestly, the bad qualities.
Wow. Yeah, and without the English being the first language, which is amazing. It just shows you, it's like, you don't have to be. It's funny, I saw the Contender Series guys. Again, we're being joined by @JasonBurgosMMA. editor contributor for Sportsnet and part of the broadcast team for Slap Fight Championship. WFN was talking about the Slap Fight Championship, and I don't know if you saw Greg Giannotti got slapped by one of the digital producers. They were trying to emulate a Slap Fight Championship.
Oh my God. You know, but that's the crazy thing. Like, there's actually two Slap Fight shows. I unfortunately am not going to be on the Slap Fight Championship show, but there's also another company that's on with the Logan Paul thing. Like, they're doing, they were punched down. Now they're trying to call themselves slap fighting. And like, this crazy thing going on in the slap world right now, but big things.
You're losing jobs quicker than Skip Bayless. What are we doing here? Just, no.
No, yeah. Just kidding. Just too busy these days, bro. Too busy.
What's wrong with busy? Busy is better than bored.
Exactly.
What do you do on your downtime, real quick? Are you a movie guy? Are you a binge series guy? Are you a video games guy?
I used to be a video game guy, but it just, I used to be a ridiculous. I'm a competitive guy. So I was the type of dude that would be playing like UFC, you know, 3 or 2 for like 3 hours and like breaking a controller, just getting pissed and losing. And, you know, like, and then you get to a point in your life.
Okay. Many controllers over there.
There you go. And then you get to a certain point when you get older in life, you're like, this is just, I need the mental health aspect of myself fixed. So I can't be doing this. Plus my fiance is like, what the hell's wrong with you? You broke another controller. You know, you don't want to hear that shit too. So I'm more of a movie guy. I used to be huge movies, but now I'm like, because of her, I've started watching like terrible reality TV, like 90 Day Fiancé, Blind Love. That shit is entertaining as all. Because you know what? 90 Day Fiancé makes me feel better about me.
Oh my God.
Makes me look at my relationship. Damn, we have a great relationship. Look
my
at
my wife movies. Is European. My mother is paranoid, like she smokes a freaking pack of weed cigarettes a day. She watches that show nonstop. Believe me, during our first years of dating, my mother was like, and I was like, Mom, what the fuck? Do you see these guys? I go, what is that you telling me that? Like, what are you trying to say? It's like, oh man, that's how I got introduced. I go, let me see this shit. And it's like, it's those women are, first of all, I freaking candy. And then they're with the Geek Squad. It's like,
that's why it's so good. Cause you're like, this guy can't. What? This guy, like, you know, it's doomed. Like, you know, it's going to fail. But like, watching the chaos as it slowly descends into failure, it's just, wow. Like, you know, like, I'm a Seinfeld Curb Your Enthusiasm. Like, I like seeing people suffer. And I'm a bit of an asshole. So that's part of it, too. So that it fits all the needs I like, just bad things happening.
Curb Your Enthusiasm, man. Very underrated. Successful as it is, it needs to get like the Chappelle Show status because it really is phenomenal.
Yeah. There's still like, I don't get the people. I have friends that like Seinfeld, but don't like that show. Like, that show is Seinfeld, just angrier. How can you not like it?
I agree. And just how they wrap everything together at the end of the episode, like, that happened 15 minutes ago, comes back to bite him in the ass. Like, yep. It's great stuff.
And just
Larry,
like
Larry!
And just how they just make these, just like Seinfeld did, these terms or ideas that become like pop culture stuff, or you use it in your regular life. Like, I've never heard of foisting. And then Larry David talked about it in an episode, like one of the last season, or like, what was the one where he had a terminology for making a business out of just hate, like just to screw someone. Like, it was like great. Genius. Larry David's a genius. I'll say it.
Oh my goodness. Again, we're being joined by at Jason Burgos, editor contributor for Sportsnet. Absolutely talented MMA broadcaster. I'm sure if he did any sport, he'd be talented, but his heart and soul is into this sport. You. We're happy we got him on our team. Last thing for UFC 272. What's your, to steal the line from, because Helwani wants credit for it, because he's the first one to say this. What's your people's main event of UFC 272?
There's a few like solid, like this fights that I'm interested in. Like Dos Anjos Moicano is a cool fight. That's a solid fight. Bryce Mitchell Edson Barboza is a cool fight, although you just feel like, you know, Mitchell's gonna get him down and take him down and stuff like that.
Wow, that easy. What are you basing this off of?
Just Barboza's never been a great cardio guy, you know, so especially cutting weight. Could he beat Mitchell? Yeah, but like he's getting older. I still don't love him at featherweight. He can be a cardio. He can be wrestled a little bit. Never had great cardio. Those are all things that go towards Bryce's kind of strengths. So, but it's still a great test for him. I like the fight. The fight I'm kind of interested in a weird way is actually Marina Rodriguez's fight, because like she's right there to get a strawweight title fight. Like she's kind of one of those really good, talented fighters that probably doesn't get enough credit because she doesn't get
McKenzie, right?
Yeah. She beat McKenzie. And you know,
if she spoke more or if people cared, like she would be right there for a title fight. The fact that she's got to take another fight beforehand is kind of crazy.
She doesn't get knockouts. That's the thing. A lot of her fights kind of will often go to finishes, and that's the beef. Like you get knockouts, you get become a bigger star. And so I like her. I like her skill set. I like she's a good fight. Another one that I'm kind of interested in is like Kelleher versus Umar Nurmagomedov. You know, Kelleher is a crafty, good veteran. You know, he's tough on the ground, skilled. You know, let's see if the Dagestan wrestling can work. Good crafty veteran can, you know, he's fun. And even Tim Elliott versus Tagir, you know, Ulanbekov. Like, that's a cool fight. Another good wrestler. But Tim Elliott's an effing wild man. Like, there's a lot of cool, like, test yourselves fight. Is this guy for real? We'll beat Edson Barboza. We'll beat Tim Elliott. Beat Brian Kelleher. There's a lot of proving ground fights on this card. I dig that. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, I'm with the Kelleher thing. It's another Long Island versus Dagestan. We obviously, yep. UFC 223 had Yaquinta, because that is how you pronounce the name. So start spreading the news and telling your friends. Al Yaquinta is how you pronounce it. He said that Khabib's the only person who's ever pronounced it correctly publicly, which is wild. Well, my point is UFC 223, Long Island versus Russia. You had the PFL, the most recent PFL, where it was Chris Wade, Long Island native, trainer of LI, trains out of LI MMA, facing, oh my gosh, was it Moged Bovalov?
Oh, Movlid. I know you're talking about Movlid. Movlid something.
I consider Long Islander as the Strong Islander.
Habulaya, Movlid Habulaya. I think that's who it is.
It might maybe be in there. There's always a B, but yeah, man, this is another Dagestani versus Long Island. I think three rounds is a big opportunity for Kelleher to just try to catch that guillotine, that signature guillotine, because if Nurmagomedov, it's like I've never pronounced the name of my life. Is he related to anybody? Yeah, he is cousins with Khabib. But
yeah, Umar is, but the Said isn't. And a lot of people think Said is. That's
Said, freaking nasty. Khabib's like, no, yeah, he's related now. Yeah, I'll take him. Dude, he blew out Cody Stammen. Cody Stammen was somebody who UFC 228, that Aljamain Sterling fight, whoever won
that
fight.
Good fighter. Cody's a good fighter.
And then
I can't believe we didn't talk about Islam. This is a bunch of bullshit going on, Islam. Oh, you don't do us a favor? Like, nonsense.
Okay, let's get to the bullshit. I was trying to get away from the darkness. You brought me back in. What do you want?
We got to be like Bane. We got to live in the dark. We're born in the dark.
So, can you set the scene for this? Again, I really respect your chemistry. Take it away.
It's like, I get it. Like, that's the thing. A lot of people would just go into rage. Oh, there's nonsense. Like, I get things from certain perspectives and certain business side of both sides. But this dude took a fight on short notice against Bobby Green. Bobby Green's a tough opponent. I knew he was going to dominate him, but that's a tough fight to take on short notice. He went in there and smashed this guy. Oh, excuse me. The right way. He smashed him. That's how you got to say it in the accent. Smashed. He smashed this guy. And then he just throws it out there. Hey, I'll fight RDA. You know, fuck it. You know, I'll go fight him. The fight didn't come together. It thought it was. It didn't come together. In the end, he owed the UFC nothing. He took the fight. He still has, a 10 wins in a row. No one is clearly better. I love Benil Dariush, but, hey, he had a bad luck of getting injury. How? Because he didn't do the UFC a favor. Oh, you didn't do us a favor when we wanted the favor done, even though we, you know, you kind of did us a favor by not pulling out of a main event and leaving us hanging with a main event, took a fight on like 6 days' notice. You know, you have to now go prove yourself again and get win 11 to get a title shot. That's insane. Like, that's like John Fitch level BS. Like, John Fitch had to go through that same shit to go fight GSP. And
great
this
comparison.
Guy's better than John.
Great
Fitch.
Comparison. What else do John Fitch and Islam Makhachev? Is it Makhachev or Makhachev?
I say Makachev, but it's probably Mahashev. It's probably like that.
And what else does Finch and Islam have? Fitch have in common with Islam? Come on. What else?
Fantastic wrestling.
Okay, besides the style, the win streak, was what else?
They're not entertaining?
Yes! Yes, I'm with Dana on this, man. He's given Islam a chance to, like, assert himself that I am not Khabib. I am my own man. Like, he's given him a chance on a pay-per-view show. It would have been a co-main, right? It would have been the co-main.
But that's a tough thing. Like I can't blame him. Like we don't know. Let's say that the fight didn't come together because he's like, look, if I'm going to take this tough fight on short notice, a very good former champion, pay me. Like, don't give me like what I'm making now. Pay me good money. If they were balking and didn't want to pay him.
Even I can't hate the Bobby Green fight. I think it's even. I don't think
really
it's
Bobby Green much. As good as RDA. Interesting.
RDA's been out for 16 months. He's been through wars, man.
I agree, but it's just like he's still like, even at this age, he's still a higher level. He's a more dangerous fighter in more ways.
He's training
Bobby
for
Green
Fiziev, a kickboxer. Of course, if I'm Islam, I'm coming in there and. This is the same thing. Ally Quinta, Yaquinta was training for Paul Felder before the rearranging of the card.
Yeah. It's just tough, man. Like, 10, either way, 10 wins in a row. 10 wins in a row. You got people getting.
Nobody knows that.
We got a guy who might get a title shot off of 2 TKO losses by just talking bullshit and having a broken leg and may get a title shot. But my boy got 10 wins. And okay. Like, no.
Before
no,
we get to the McGregor versus Makhachev, I hope nobody better believe that he's going to get a title shot off.
I don't know, man.
Because are you reading now? You're reading into those tea leaves with the Dana White quotes. You
know, but Charles
Oliveira, that's what Dana White said. It goes, oh, it's up to Charles.
And he said he would take the fight, though. Charles Oliveira said, I would be stupid not to take that fight. That's crazy. Like the champion
McGregor
said,
would
I
be
will
stupid
do
to
it.
Take that fight.
He would be, but he's going to do it.
He should pull a boxing card where he does a warm-up fight.
Yeah. Like, I don't – like, it's crazy. Like, he blows my mind. Like, how fascinating would Conor be if he was just chill, little humble? Like, you know what? I'm going to prove it. I'm going to show you guys I'm still the best one. I'm going to prove it. Don't worry. I'm coming, you know. Instead of this nonsense, oh, I'm going to fight this guy. I got the best ground and pound in the sport. Got better ground and pound. But it's like, just utter nonsense. Like, he's just bonkers now. Like, the coke he's getting is elite level, and he's just lost his mind, man. He's just Tony Montana with the mountains of coke. He's got the powder on his face. He's
Tony Montana. Like,
whoa.
There you go. and then we saw the weird video with the popsicle thing and like, oh my God, now you're going to put this guy in a title fight UFC? You got to be kidding me.
So he calls out Makhachev, which is smart because
oh yeah,
I don't really see them crossing paths.
Nah.
Because if he comes back, he fights Chuck Oliveira. I think he goes for the Diaz fight at 170 and then maybe title fight at 170. Yeah, if it's not Khamzat, I don't know.
I
think
he
would avoid him. This is safe. And then I don't know if this quote is real. I asked the person on Twitter. Shout outs to Drew Jitsu, Andrew Valencia. He retweeted something where Khabib said, "If Conor beat Islam, not that I believe he'll beat him, but if he beats him, he'll return to face Conor a second time." Is that true?
I didn't hear anything about that. I would just have, like, Khabib's a smart businessman. Like, I mean, he's a smart businessman, but he's also competitive. Like, is that enough of a fight? Like, Conor after a couple of losses? And like, I don't know. Like, I mean, he said in an interview, the only thing he ever would have fought, the only thing he would have came in and fought again for was GSP, and that's not going to happen. But I don't know. I mean, I don't think it's going to happen. And I think there's one fight to make that I think makes a lot of sense if he won this fight. If they got him a title shot off of this, even though it's not a guy in the normal weight class, I would be fine with it. McGregor versus Max Holloway. Max Holloway wants that fight. It's a rematch. They're two great fighters. Like, if he beat Max Holloway at lightweight, fine, whatever. He beat a world-class gold of a division, pound-for-pound talent, even though he's not a lightweight. Like, and that's a money fight. Like, That's a fun fight. Like, these are two great fighters, arguably two of the best featherweights ever, fighting at lightweight, whatever. It's going to be a sick, fun fight. And like, I'm surprised they didn't make that fight. I was surprised Max Holloway pulled the fight for Volkanovski. So I don't know why they wouldn't make that, but I don't know. It's confusing.
Do you believe what his coach says when he says McGregor's not coming back to 155?
He put on a lot of muscle. That's a lot of muscle mass. And Conor seems like a guy that you really can't tell him what to do. If he wants to be jacked up and 170 pounds and cut no weight, that's what Conor McGregor is going to do. I mean, so I wouldn't doubt it. You know, like, he knows him as well as anybody to know if he's stubborn enough not to listen. And this is a dude who don't listen. So it's possible. I mean, he's already tried to make fights. What's the Cerrone fight? That was at welterweight, right? That was a welterweight. Was Diaz 2 or Diaz 1?
Both.
That, well, like, he's been kind of wanting to go that way anyway. But the only thing is, his best weight was probably 145. And he's not going to do that. So his optimal weight is lightweight. So if he goes to welterweight, he fought Hamza, woo, we're going to get a big smashing in that fight. Uh-oh. Got a video share? I can't hear you, though.
Can you hear me?
There you go.
Okay. McGregor, after this whole Makhachev thing, I'll fight that shit stain. Makovich, no sweat. It's funny whoever writes this. Embarrassing ground and pound the other night. And I do believe McGregor is pound for pound one of the best ground and pound. Think about it. That one punch on Aldo, a couple of punches on Cerrone. That's really it. You know, he's efficient. His ground and pound career is efficient.
So, should we go into percentages? Like, you know, like Patrick Ewing, he hit 2 threes in 1997. Yes. So he was one of the best 3-point shooters that year. Percentage. Okay, I got you.
Well, that pisses me off in Madden. I'm trying to check my like QB rating, and then the person who came in and threw one touchdown pass, I go, get the figure out the sorting system. But a pitiful punching, and then Bottles, the RDA fight after mouthing of him, LOL, embarrassing. Watch when I come back, same as before, everyone, any weight. And can you see this second tweet?
Yeah.
The reply is great. That was not intentional. That's the first thing that came up. The sooner the better his leg heals fully, we can, or this leg, his would have been if his public, we can get the fuck back going. He sobers up a little on this. I appreciate it. McGregor will never give an inch. I mean, he's taking shot at the Dagestanis. And if you remember from the UFC 229 presser, where it was him solo.
My heart is black towards this man, towards his team, towards his people. Right? Peace. There will never be peace here. I always say you should aim for peace.
Well, what are you going to aim for?
Aim for peace, aim between the eyes. And that's it.
Yep, I remembered it. You know, is he just goofing around with the Makovich shit stain, the poor ground and pound, or is he really just dislike the whole Khabib mafia?
Both. It's probably both. Like, he, you know, there is a lot of genuine hate and stuff like that between them. I was one of the craziest thing, one of the first like real UFC events I did as credential was they did, I don't know if you remember, they did a Conor and Khabib presser at Radio City, maybe like a month or so before the fight. Yeah, I was at that.
Oh, we were there together. Did you ask a question?
No, I don't really. Pussy. I don't on those big media things. I'm always like, eh. But that was nuts,
dude. You could have been Pepto-Bismol.
But you don't remember that thing was nuts. That was
like put blue lights on all the seats. Like, I was like, just wow, just taking in the moment.
But it was just like the two of them was nonsense. Like, Conor was just off the wall. He was arguing with Ali Abdelaziz, all kinds of craziness. Like, it just like I
offered a Muslim a drink, and that's a no-no in the Muslim religion. So that's what I'm saying with the same thing with the Jorge Masvidal, man. It's I think McGregor was favored in that fight, no, right? Again, no. Khabib was favored. Khabib.
Yeah, he was a favorite. Yeah.
Like a
10-30
or something.
Yeah, and it was the same reason because of the wrestling. And people saw the wrestling coming, and that's exactly what happened in the fight and stuff like that. But it's hard. Like, there was a time where I thought he was really good, really a media savvy. and smart with it. And now I just don't know. You know, look, we see what happens with a lot of people that reach a certain level of fame. They do, you know, things like drugs and all kinds of things do have an effect. It's had an effect with John Jones, legitimately. We've seen a lot of famous actors, musicians, they start out young, become superstars in their 20s, and then life and fame has a way of messing with people. And I think in a lot of ways, it's different with John Jones, and he's got his alcohol issues and greater issues, but I think there's things with McGregor too. I mean, he punched the old man and broke the one guy's phone, like just stuff that he seems too smart to do, the Machine Gun Kelly. Like, there's other factors going on. Like, I don't think it's coincidental that he's tailed off and started to lose. Like, I think there's outside factors going on in his life, and it's affected him as a fighter. He's affected his progression as a fighter. It's affected him as a person. And I just don't think he has the same savvy. It's just a man that has a hurt ego, who hasn't dealt with something like this, can't humble himself, maybe using substances, has too much money, has too much time. And it's just a cocktail for crazy.
And who does he adhere to? Like, nobody.
Exactly. Yep.
Like, yeah. Kavanaugh.
He's probably surrounded by yes men, like a lot of famous people are, that are not helping him to steer him away from the wrong thing.
Like,
so,
if I'm his friend, I'd be like, bro, why are you punching a DJ? Like, okay, we moved
yeah,
on from the
I
old
forgot
game.
About that.
Why are you punching DJs?
God. Yes. And then look, that the DJ had like the classic like ambulance chase. He had like a neck brace on, like the next two days later. And he, you know, like, dude, like, you are in a position where you can step on someone's toe and they're gonna act like they got a fractured foot. They're like I mean,
Art of Lobov. I blame him.
Yeah, seriously, Art. I mean, but also they're like, there was weird connection stories with like McGregor and like Irish mafia and all kind of, like, so if this is a kid that's a street kid that has too much money, a bunch of yes people around him, a massive ego, an ego that's bruised, like, there's a lot of things going on. He's still a relatively young man. Like, you know, I'm 38 and I'm still maturing as a person. Like, this guy is like barely in his 30s. Like, there's still maturity levels that he hasn't even reached, you know, through life, and I think it's just a big mess. Like, and him losing has just really sent him on a bad path, especially breaking his leg, having too much time himself. Yeah.
And that's I appreciate you, because you know the nitty gritty, you won't always touch on it, but you know, while we're lifting off the carpet to see what's underneath. Dude, have you seen the freaking the hookup videos? He's cheating left and freaking right.
I mean, there was the case in Ireland that, you know, he probably sexually assaulted, possibly raped. Like, I have no doubt that he's probably been doing things for years.
March 2019. That was the second retirement, I think.
Yeah, yep. Yeah, like, I'm not sure. I mean, I give his wife is sort of like Ivanka. Like, she knows he's messing around, but, like, riding the train is just probably too beneficial for her and her family, so she's just going to keep going on. Like, Ivanka's going to keep going along with Trump, even though she knows she should get off the huge train. So.
No, I knew that was wrong. Ivanka Trump's his daughter.
Oh, sorry, not Ivanka. What's,
and when you're saying Ivanka Trump, I was like, wait, Jared Kushner, the step-in-law, is cheating on Ivanka? I go, first of all, she's great.
What's the former first lady's name? I forget that. I'm glad I forgot.
Oh my gosh. Melania.
Melania. Well, sorry. I'm sorry, Ivanka. Not really. She's an evil villain too. But Melania, McGregor's wife's kind of like Melania, just this quiet brunette figure in the background and pictures and has kids. You really hear from her, but you wonder why she's there and she's still sticking around despite you probably knowing bad things are happening.
Is it the end of the McGregor era? Is Hamzat going to take the mantle once he's champion? Like, maybe this year will be the crossover McGregor's last year. If he comes back and loses, that's kind of it, right?
Like, I don't think he's never going to reach those peaks. I mean, this is a guy who was a two-division champion. Like, this guy, I think a lot of people...
fight says everything. It's like, yeah, danced with the devil, essentially.
Yeah, really. He really has never recovered from that. And it's really... it made him as rich as possible, but who knows the direction it sent his life in because of how successful it was and how big it was and how much it changed his brain. Like, that is one of the biggest selling. Is it the number one? It is the, oh no, Pacquiao Mayweather is still one, but that's two, right? That's the second highest selling pay-per-view of all time. Like, he made this special moment in history that was historical and hugely successful. So at that age, who knows how much affected, but yeah, go back to, I think he's past his best days. I don't think he's ever going to reach that again. That's not to say he can't win. He can definitely win. He can have some big fights, but yeah, I think the McGregor era in terms of fan popularity will never really end. Look, Mike Tyson is still popular, you know, like Mayweather can have a stupid exhibition with Logan Paul and still make millions. So McGregor will always be a money guy, but in terms of pure relevancy in the sport, yeah, it'll be crazy if Hamzat goes and lose. And then where do we go from there? Because everyone's anointing him as the next guy. But it could easily be him. And I don't know, what about you? But is there anybody else that has that kind of fascinating mystique anywhere in the sport or in the UFC like him?
Conor or Hamzat?
Hamzat. Like, is there anyone on the way up that is as fascinating a talent as him? Like, I don't think there really is. Like, there is no other guy. It seems like Hamzat is that next guy. He's that tweener between like Habib and Conor. Like, he's got Habib's skills, he's got Habib's audience, but he's got Conor's kind of brash, boastful confidence.
Interesting. Yeah, to call Darren Till fat to his face, say don't let
with
him pull the
no coupon. Fear. No fear for repercussions. Like, come on, fat boy, let's go. Like, nothing. Like, no fear left.
Oh, I'm fucking fat. Like, he was like agreeing with it. Like, he was like, oh, are you gonna see Darren Till grow a beard now?
Like, how gangster is this dude? Like, he's got that appeal. He's got that appeal that he can appeal to the international audience, this big audience in that part of the world, but also appeal to an American audience because of his brash boast, don't care, crazy confidence. Like, I remember that's why, like, we did an article on Sportsnot where we do like a next fight piece. And it's like just a concept piece fan can go to and see what his next fight is. And I wanted to do that because I remember Dana White saying like that his videos of walking to the ring for the Li Jing Liang fight were like huge on their social. Like, that's saying something. There's something clearly there. This guy has four fights in the UFC, doesn't speak a lot of English, and he's huge on social. Like, that's really the place where, like, they say demographics, like, you know, you look at demographics and that decides ratings and who's really doing well. Like, social media is sort of like the link to like the demographics. That's the money spent. The young kids are on these apps. And if you're big on social, you are big in terms of making money. And that article on our site gets tons of views all the time. Like, it's not even like new stuff, it's just updating when his fight is. That's how often people are just looking to see, oh, when's he fight, what time's that fight, I can't wait.
Yeah, I think O'Malley could be in the ballpark with Hamzat, but in terms of
he lost already, that hurt a little bit. He killed his hype.
Like, Hamzat's already like, apparently he says he has like Olympic level wrestling. He says he beat people in wrestling match who wrestled in the Olympics 10-0 in wrestling matches. Wow. Don't be fooled by the Jack Hermanson wrestling tape. Yeah. Apparently Hermanson said it was a freestyle wrestling thing. He didn't say, there was no submission grappling involved. Did you know that?
Yeah.
All right, because a lot of people, oh my god, he's beating Jack Hermanson, the Joker, the submission specialist. No, he wasn't allowed to do any chokes. No. But regardless, he said Hamzat's one of the strongest people he ever felt. I mean, these are the stories you're hearing that when McGregor, the yellow mat days, you remember those SBG days when the mountain was coming down, when McGregor was kicking that Taekwondo shield, the spinning back kick over and over and over, leading up to the Seaver fight, the Mendes fight, the Aldo fight, like the yellow mat days. Now he's training on a yacht outside of Portugal. Now he's training in LA. Now he's, getting advice from Tony Robbins. People like give credit to GSP. He seemed like he could handle fame. Good looking guy. Do not tell me that women were not throwing themselves at GSP. He's remained single. So, and he's also kept his circle tight, his news tight, and he's was able to win. Like, he biggest athlete in, I guess Gretzky. He's up there. He's up there, man, with the Canadian athletes. Yep. He was the number one market for a time was Canada.
Yeah, he made MMA a big thing in Canada for a time. Yeah, legitimately.
I mean,
he was the pay-per-view guy. He was the one guy at a time that could get to $1 million pay-per-view outside of Brock. And Brock had like a WWE connection that had brought an audience with him. Yeah, I think what makes a difference between him and GSP and even maybe a Habib, I think a GSP was scared to lose. Like he even admitted having that fear, that normal human kind of fear going into a fight like that. Like people can relate to that, but he was scared to lose, so that motivated. I feel like Conor can't believe he could lose. Huh. It's like a different thing. It's like a confidence thing, which confidence is huge, but I don't know if he has that fear to change things, to say, yeah, this training isn't working for me. Working out here isn't doing this, living this kind of life isn't where he's like, he's so confident he can beat anybody alive that he can't imagine he could lose. While GSP was scared of that possibility of defeat, and it motivated him to greatness.
And I think McGregor's also just riding his losses off to, well, I was training for a Pacquiao fight before the Poirier fight at UFC 257. I didn't do any leg kicks. And then he caught me with the calf kick. And the rest was history. Like he has these excuses, and he's a salesman too. He's a con artist. He's convincing us. He's
the con artist, Conor McGregor. That's a good one.
Thank you. That was, I fell into that one. But it's like that just narcissist level of confidence that just like to do what he did, you need to be that person. Like to say what he's going to do, the Mystic Mac, the Rise, if you watch the documentary, the Notorious, it's like you need to be that crazy to believe in it.
Yeah.
Like the people who invented the airplane, that's what the realm of mentality that McGregor's in. And I believe when Dana say this is going to be the Conor McGregor era, is like it's going to take years to replicate what McGregor did. All the pay-per-view sales, the records he set in terms of pay-per-view buys and numbers.
Yeah, I mean, and if, you know, and that's, I think that's a beautiful thing about this sport is there's always someone who's like, oh man, they're the biggest. And there's not going to be anybody. Ah, man, Chuck's the biggest. Like he's the first guy to be a crossover star.
Anderson Silva, you suck. In comparison to Conor McGregor, you suck. Like, look at the numbers. Like it's just McGregor's in his own threshold.
But that's the thing. That's what I was going towards. I think someone could do even better. Because you know, the sport is like the UFC itself, it's just an even bigger thing. So the door is open to do even bigger things than there say was in like 19. Because like I said, there was Chuck. No one's gonna be bigger than Chuck. Then like Anderson Silva comes along. Anderson Silva seems like then it's a GSP that's making millions pay-per-view buys, like million pay-per-view buys. That was unheard of for MMA.
McGregor got the sport to WME. He got the sport to ESPN, the number one sports platform. You know how crazy that is?
It's, but you know what? If there wasn't a GSP, if there wasn't a Chuck, he wouldn't have done. That's what I'm saying. There's always a level. He's been the next level. I think someone will come along one day and they can do is as big as Conor. And that's what's exciting because that's what's great about the sport because the audience changes and things change. There's never, oh, they were the biggest pay-per-view seller. Oh, they were even in boxing. I bet everybody thought Ali. No one's going to do bigger than Ali. Then Mayweather came along. Then Pacquiao came. Then Mike Tyson came along. When it comes to the selling and being big, there's always going to be another big one.
It did take 40 years, though, for Mayweather.
No, not true. Because Sugar Ray, he was a big deal. You know, Mike Tyson in the 80s was a big deal. You know, like there's big names and stuff like that. There'll be somebody. I think there'll be somebody. And maybe it's Hamza. Maybe he can be that guy.
And people, the worst part of this is everybody's, I don't know, they smell the Kool-Aid. They're done drinking it because it's worn out. But it's like the Ian Garys, the Patty Pimlets. It's like everybody's putting their chip and their stock into it. And now these fighters, they're trying to replicate the McGregor template and trying to do it. And the sad part is it's like, guys, that 99.9%, like that's where you land. He is at that 0.0001 McGregor, the astronomical stars aligned and everything. That's why agreeing with you furthermore, Khamzat is the perfect yang to Conor McGregor's yin, especially in this time of, okay, we made it to ESPN. Like, think about the platform he was on, Fox, a very conservative platform. McGregor, who's this brash, borderline racist at times. Like, okay, he was kind of playing it up to the audience, the blue collar audience, like the FS1 audience. It was perfect that he came in at 2012 or 2013, that FS1 deal. It was just a perfect trajectory into ESPN. Oof. Now we're at Disney. Now we're at the humble warriors. Now Dana White's kind of muffled. He's like Hannibal Lecter. He wanted to go to Tachi Palace during the early days of the pandemic, and the Disney CEO shot him down, and Dana White knew his place. He couldn't be as brash. Now Hunter Campbell is a lot more present. The guy looks like Harry Potter, who will probably take over after Dana White. He will be like the Adam Silver of MMA. I have no doubt about that. McGregor, Dana White, like these characters to push the sport forward. They were needed at the time. Yeah. Now on the ESPN platform, if Silva was here, it'd be so beautiful. GSP was here. That's what we get in Hamza, the quiet, humble, confident warrior. So it's like that. That's the era we're in. I'm sorry to the Garys, the Pimlets. Who else is like a really crazy brash guy? Those people are going to fall by the wayside.
And you know what's the thing? And I don't, that's the frustrating sadly. Thing about. Oh, yeah, yeah. That's the frustrating thing about Conor's decline.
I said, sadly, I didn't name a fighter.
Oh, sorry.
Wait, were you agreeing like I named the fighter?
Yeah, I thought. I think you said O'Malley.
Oh, yeah. Oh, exactly. It was on your mind.
Yeah, but, you know, Conor was a great fighter. Like, Conor, the thing, if you're going to be a star, you got to get finishes. Conor got finishes. How is that gets finishes? Crazy fast. So that's why he's got that appeal. He's got that possible trajectory of how big he's gotten so fast, and he gets finishes. So that's why he could be the heir apparent to the next big guy, especially if he develops his English, keeps developing his English. You gotta speak English, you want to make big money. If he can learn it, he can make big money.
And if he does he doesn't have to do the crazy stuff that McGregor does. Like if he just like if he could be a Frank Yeager type of trajectory, that's pretty amazing in this era. Like, I think we're going to see it's cyclical. It's all cyclical.
Yeah.
And another cycle is Dana White doing his media rounds, and he joined Colin Cowherd. Did you get to see any of these clips?
Nah.
Okay. Well, you got to check this out. We're going to have to hear this like 4 or 5 times. It's only 30 seconds. Borchina Depot posted it, but obviously this audio comes courtesy of FS1, The Herd. And Dana White, who's a guest, doesn't say one word. He just smiles at everything that Colin Cowherd says.
I tend to think styles make fights. Covington's kind of a relentless attacker. Masvidal is interesting. He's very popular. I get a big personality. He's won his last 5 fights. He'll go after you. So when I look at this, not that it's Diaz and McGregor, but the style tells me get there early. Fast, right? Okay, McGregor, Diaz 3. I said this when it happened. I said it reminded me of Ali Frazier.
Okay. I'm going to tag you right now in it. You got Twitter open?
I gotta open it.
Play the video. Look at Dana White's face. Here's the sound again.
I tend to think styles make fights.
Oh, do you?
Covington's kind of a relentless attacker. Masvidal is interesting. He's very popular. I get a big personality. He's won his last 5 fights. He'll go after you. So when I look at this, not that it's Diaz and McGregor, but the style tells me. Get there
on the background on the phone.
This could be oh, fast, is that Hunter? Right? Okay, McGregor Diaz 3. I said this when it happened. I said it reminded me of Ali Frazier. I tend to style make fun.
Oh my goodness.
He's just like a Stephen A. Like, you know, just getting involved in this world that he knows nothing about. That's what I hate about media today. You have these people that, oh, they just know everything about. No one knows everything about everything. Nobody's an expert on everything. Stephen A, Colin Howard, get away. Act like you don't know. Don't act like you do know. Stop.
I tend to think styles make fights.
I mean, he knows what he's talking about.
Is interesting.
Oh my goodness. And you know, the funniest thing is that maybe he's like a savant in the way. His quote out of any media member, anybody, he nailed it perfectly. The August 21st or 22nd, the Monday 2016, following UFC 202, Colin Cowherd said, "Boxing is officially dead." And I thought he hit the nail on the head there. But when he's saying,
"But the style tells me
get there early."
What? Okay, McGregor has three. I said this when it happened.
When did it happen? Goodness. Oh my goodness.
It's almost like sacrilege as like a combat sports fan, long time. I was much more into boxing than I am now, but to like compare it to Ali Frazier, come on, what are you doing? Get out of here. I like Nate Diaz, but get the hell out of here. Nate Diaz and Joe Frazier, not even close. McGregor and Ali, not even close.
What's been your worst experience, personal or professional, with MMA takes?
I gotta think about that one. I mean, there's just... I respect most of the people most of the people on the MMA media side, I think a lot of them are fans. A lot of them were fans that got into the media. Like they didn't go to school and necessarily think I'm going to get into MMA media. I mean, I kind of did that, but it's because the sport was big. More the hot takes are just the nonsense from the fans. Like I respect the MMA fans. It's a lot of great fans, but there's a lot of effing meathead moron MMA fans that just say the most ridiculous things and challenging to fighters on Twitter like they're gangsta, and that's the thing that more the hot takes that I just can't stand. Some of the weird call outs and grand prognostications and, you know, like being like the biggest cheerleaders for certain fighters like McGregor after losses, like that's the stuff that's just hard to deal with.
Now you're making me change my thing, but recently with the UFC 262, the Oliveira Chandler fight, my friends, and I think the betting, you're going to see this a lot more. They bet on Chandler for that fight. Mm. I cover betting. Newsflash, breaking news, I do not bet. I like to prognosticate, but I do not bet. I feel like, I don't know, that would just ruin the viewing experience. Of course, I want my prediction to come correct, but there's no skin in the game. We're watching that fight. I know Charles Oliveira's on a tear. I've seen him years ago, up and down divisions, up and down with streaks, finally hits consistency on a tear, looking phenomenal. Michael Chandler, I also know his Bellator background, his meteoric rise, following the Dan Hooker knockout. He did what he said he was going to do. It was the co-main event in the McGregor Poirier 2 card. A lot of attention on Michael Chandler. He's built like a brick shit house. He's Captain America. He speaks well, looks great, wears leather jackets. Like, this guy's the guy. Like, all he needs is just to be on a calendar where his bike is parked in front of a sunset beach and he's holding this helmet and he's got no shirt on and holding a fireman's axe. Like, that. That's how people see him. We're watching the fight. All of a sudden, the ending happens where Oliveira comes back from the first round where he was dropped. And I'm like, whew. Like, and I presented, I go, guys, this is a tough fight. Oliveira's hands, he's not just the jiu-jitsu guy. So then the fight plays out. And I'm just like, wow, wow. And they're like, you fucking kidding me? Fuck this guy. Look at him dance. Look at him cry. Oh, he's going to cry now? He's going to cry for his title? Fuck this guy. And I'm like, holy fuck. And I go,
these are my friends.
No, he's from, like, and again, I didn't think of the betting aspect at, and I go, guys, I go, he's literally like from a rags to riches story. He's from the favelas. Fuck the favelas. Guy, I don't give a shit who he is. What's wrong with him? Oh, you think you can strike? You think you can strike? What happened to your jiu-jitsu guy? Brazil, you're not even honoring your country. Your art hates you. And I was like, holy shit.
That sounds like that'd be the perfect name for like a future segment about hot takes. Fuck the favelas.
The favelas. Barely in Wi-Fi.
Let's move on to our next segment. Fuck the favelas.
Since that fight, and it's like, how many times do I gotta be burned before I learn? I pick and choose who I watch fights with.
Yeah.
Is that with you? Do you get like aggravated? Like, cockroaches crawling up your skin because you hear these people's takes.
No, luckily, when it comes to the people I've watched live with, it's close friends, and I know they're sane people, and either they got me into the sport, and I respect their knowledge, or I got them into the sport, and I can understand, but I got lucky. I've never watched it at a bar. When I'm at media events, there's some dumb stuff with, when you're on media role, but nah, luckily I haven't had those experiences.
Yeah, even the media, they're scared to ask Dana White some questions. I Errol Hawani, ton of credit for, though he's the grinder and he does stick his nose in everything. No, that's poor taste. No, he does ask the tough questions to Dana White.
I mean, there's a reason why, because the UFC has so much power in the sport. Like, if they take you out of it and you lose access in a way, like Bloody Elbow has and other sites, it really hurts.
All right, so pick. Credential story or schmo story?
Schmo story. I gotta know the schmo story.
Right, so on his right as UFC 236, the Holloway Poirier fight, that's when he showed up. That was his press conference that he showed up, and Dana White, like, he was on fire. And follow the trajectory of the Schmo, he also does a podcast, the Schmo Zone, with his fiance,
his girlfriend,
Helen Yee. Mm-hmm. And he's kind of starting to osmosis into one person. He does the character, he does the radio show, podcast show, and now he's a lot more tame when he asks his questions at the pressers, if you notice. He's like wearing an outfit, but he's not.
I think he realized he doesn't want to do this forever. He doesn't want to play the schmo until he's like 70. So he's trying to separate a little bit, which is smart. He should. He's making money. Start separating a little bit.
My partner at the time, should we start doing some crazy thing? He goes, no, he'll have a drug habit. He'll go to rehab and he'll be on a reality show. You don't have to. He literally said that. I was like, all right, we'll see what happens. Cash your ticket if you did not predict that. But following that burst on the scene, I think he was still maybe 10,000 followers. And Jason, again, I appreciate the time, man. His publicist, the wonderful Kathy, who's she's a fox. She's hard to pull anything over. How many views? How many followers? What's it? I'm like, oh, we're working on it. But she goes, hey, I have this young media star in your space. Would love to get him on. I go, yeah, of course. I saw him. Would love to talk to him. I remember he goes, when we first connect, he goes, so do you want me to go by my name or do you want me to be the schmo for you? I was like, I don't know. I was like, be yourself. So we get in the interview. He tells me something crazy about a fighter who actually tore his ACL when he was training with them, which is pretty crazy. Wow. Interview goes well. He starts challenging Ariel Helwani, if you notice, into like a boxing match.
Yeah, I remember that.
Grappling match. I have a pretty good martial arts background. I've competed a bunch of times, more than a handful of times in the martial arts space. Actually took a cage fight, which is pretty well. So I insert myself into the conversation. I go, hey, schmuck. I go, I try to defend Colby's the quote unquote character, because it's like I'm leaning into just being the ball bust. And again, I bust your balls with the Skip Bayless joke. I'm sorry, Jason. I like you. Anytime I like somebody or see that they can take it, maybe I push them a little too hard. I insert myself. I go, hey, schmuck, I'll grapple you, box Errol Hawani, and outrun Mike Heck, who Mike Heck does a ton of
sprints
or something. In the same day, he texts me, he unfollows me, and then he texts me, goes, not cool, man. So, and I'm literally stoned while this is all playing out. I'm on an edible. This is 3 years ago.
He had a McGregor moment when you're doing all this.
I'll fucking kill you.
Yeah. Who is this fucking guy?
McGregor with just a little less money. And
smaller yacht.
I call him straight to the point. Call him. Doesn't answer. I leave a message. Now, I learned this in the business. Act as if you're on air all the time. I've heard the Scott Van Pelt voicemails get back to him. Look that up. The Mel Gibson voicemails get back to him. Get on your knees and suck this cock. You remember those?
No, I don't.
You ever heard those?
Oh, no.
You might. If the fights are boring tomorrow night, and again, if you would have me on your Sportsnaut post game for the UFC 272, maybe we could play the Mel Gibson voicemail. He was drunk, hammered, and called his hot ex, and just she was very smart. She was European, and she starts going, "But Mel, you don't really mean this." "I do, you whore, you slut." And he kept leaning into it. But anyway, I knew that this could potentially get back to me. So I go, "Hey, schmuck." I go, "What is this?" I go, if you want to be a man, answer your phone. Let's do this. Jew to Jew. I go, "I'll do some jujitsu on you." He is Jewish. His last name is like Schmoll. And there's a finish to the last name. And Stone voicemails. So that's the Schmo story. We were cool, did a really nice interview. And then that's where our relationship is. And I can't wait to see him. But it's funny. On the Schmo interview, I was telling him gossip like I'm telling you that happened with me and Ariel Helwani. So now I feel like this is just I'm gonna be in an inception. I'm going to be on another interview telling people about the gossip with Jason that happened about why we're no longer friends. So
that's crazy though. Like the whole, I remember when he did that too. And it was like I get it. And I don't think Helwani, I don't think he answered it. Right. He didn't even respond. He just totally ignored it. But it's like,
did you hear the even deeper gossip with Schmo and Darren Till and Helwani? A voice call was recorded.
You never
heard this.
No.
So have you heard Helwani? He says, "I don't punch down." Have you heard him made that reference?
Yes. Yeah.
At a UFC 245, when they did the fan experience, they did one at UFC 238 in Chicago. That was the Moraes Cejudo card. And then the Covington Usman one card, UFC 245, December 2018 or something? They did another fan experience. Somebody asked Helwani in person, like, are you going to fight the Schmo? And he goes, "I don't punch down." That's where it started. I mean, you know what that means, right?
Yeah, like he's like below him. He's not going to go down to his level and do that.
But he does know of the Schmo. He does know of him, and he does and he does talk about him. Him and Darren Till were conversating that was recorded on Darren Till's end, and Till does the Mrs. Gibson style where he just like starts to like reel him in. "Oh, Ariel, so what do you think of the Schmo? What is your thoughts on the Schmo?" And he goes, "Come on, Darren, come on." And he goes, "No, he seems like a talented guy." Like he was playing him. It was literally an alley-oop. And Helwani goes, "Man," he goes, "screw that guy, screw that jabroni." Like that literally who Helwani is. He literally is a nerd from the 80s. He goes, "Screw that jabroni. He came up to me asking me for my MMA fighting contact. I gave it to him. He comes back to me the next press conference and he says, 'Oh, I'm better than MMA fighting. Get me on ESPN. Come on, Helwani.'" And from then there was a friction. I don't remember the rest of the phone call, but Helwani knows who he is. And the Schmo is rising. I give him credit. Talented guy, ton of energy, self-made, working hard, connected with Henry Cejudo. But Helwani does pay attention to the tea leaves. And I have a story with Helwani. I believe the hatchet is buried, but that will be for, I'm just going to give you a list of things that potential stories you get with
the bridges, the various bridges that have been burned slowly.
Thomas story. Again, it's like nobody busts balls anymore. It's just, I don't know.
You know what it is? They're not New Yorkers, man. This is a different kind of person. You know, there's a different. For one, I just think New Yorkers are funny because we all bust each other's balls and we just, that's just a different kind, you know, and I won't say New York, I'll say Northeast because it's tough. Philly, this, you know, tough Boston, this, the Northeast people, even DC, this is a different breed of people, especially New Yorkers. And it's just, we deal with so much bullshit in New York that we can take it and then we can just fire back or we could just laugh with it. But yeah, if you're not from this area, it's a different kind of nature.
The city. I recently moved back to Long Island from the city for 5 years. Yeah, we're all soft out here, and like, I tell my friends, you guys are spoiled, or we're spoiled, and you don't know it. It's like I've lived in Flatbush, Washington Heights, Bushwick, Williamsburg for a year, which was really cool and safe, but it's like. Dude, egos get squashed very quick. You walk to the subways, you can't just frolic like you're in the fucking Wizard of Oz with your hands flailing around like you're doing the billionaire strut, which McGregor stole from Vince McMahon. You can't go to the subway like that at 11 p.m. or 2 a.m. Hell no. You got to take your glasses off. I never walk outside with my glasses when I was living in the city. I didn't wear colorful stuff, hands in the pockets. Like, you can't make yourself a target, like, to potentially be conned. I don't think people understand that.
Yeah, it's just – and the funny thing about it is, too, it's like the city is just, like, so dirty and, like, expensive and overrated. So it just builds, like, a tough exterior, like it forces you to just have to be tough because it's not nice. It's not happy-go-lucky. It's not pleasant. People are mean. You can be robbing the street and they ain't gonna do shit. You know, that's just a different kind of, it's like a different inner fortitude. And you know, that's it. And it just, you gotta be here to know it. If you're not here, you just don't get it.
I learned my lesson at a Washington Heights subway station. I was pissed for some reason. And I'm just, again, I'm like, oh, I'm a tough guy. And guy's wearing glasses, leather jacket, looks like the Terminator. And all of a sudden, he's not looking at me, but I start looking at him. He literally takes off his glasses, raises his eyebrow like The Rock, and he goes, what? And he's a big man. And I was like, in my head, I go, I don't give a fuck. I'll make the first move. I'll knock this guy out. And then when he did that, I go, I'm good.
Just waiting for my train.
I'm good.
Smart move. I think I probably would do the same thing. Oh. And I don't have the fighting background like you do.
Can they hire more cops from the city? Like, they hire all these freaking transplants from the island, from Jersey, from upstate. It's like, you got to be in the city to know the city. It's its own universe.
Yeah. And I mean, it's because we're just, it's such a big, dense, populated place. We're on top of each other. We're, you know, you, but you also, like, for all the meanness, there's still this blending of cultures and people and attitude. And, you know, I think that's a reason why so many creative people come out of here, and like music and movies. And it's just like, it builds a toughness that you can go out in the world and do big things, but also builds it in, you know, just unique people. Cause we're just all these, so many different people, good, bad, in the middle. And, you know, like, I want to leave just because it's so expensive and it's just hard to have a good life in New York, but I will definitely miss it when I'm gone.
It is true. If you make it in New York City, you can make it anywhere.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah.
Hopefully we can somehow be part of this journey together, Mr. at Jason Burgos MMA. I really appreciate the time. Any final thoughts going into tomorrow night's big card?
I'm excited for the main event, not too excited for other things. I think the biggest thought is MMA media work can be very expensive. And when you're paying $75 for a pay-per-view with one really good fight, it's like, thank God I can write these off of my taxes.
phony Montana.
Oh,
right, we are a bunch of phony Montanas. That's the fact. But yeah, it is very expensive to be a fight.
$75.
I freaked. What would you call it? My superior or manager? He goes, huh? Like it's working there for 6 months now. He goes, and I guess maybe now that football season died down, he goes, huh? Wow. Because I asked about the pay-per-views. And then there's boxing pay-per-views in the zone. And he's like, wow. I know I'm making him sound like he's about to go in on a verse right now. But he realized how expensive it is to be a fight fan.
And it's the 75, then you pay for ESPN Plus. If you want to watch Bellator, you got to buy Showtime. Showtime ain't cheap. It's nuts. It's freaking nuts.
Business is good for Zuffa. WMEIMG, man. Ari Emanuel. If they're raising this, I believe it. Dana White said 2021 was their best year ever.
Yeah.
That's why he can just sit there and not say anything to Colin Cowherd. He's grinning. Hunter's in the back doing all the fighter deals and negotiations. Dana's just smiling. Maybe it becomes nice and cleaned up, but I don't know. He seems like everybody's cool uncle. He's like wearing sweatshirts. He does this thing like, hey, I'm one of you guys. Oh my gosh. You're the man. I really appreciate it, brother.
Thanks, bro. Appreciate it.